Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning, December the 17th. It is episode number 138, and we're coming to you from the bunker where we got the fire going, and we're ready to talk sports for the next 2 hours here on Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show. I got one for you. I'm the host. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Good morning, Dupes.
Good morning.
If I'm Taylor, he's Tyler.
Sagan and Hall. Did I get it?
Remember that debate?
Yeah, I do.
Remember that debate? Is it still a debate?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think it is.
We are going full head first into a hockey show today, except for one thing I want to talk about with the Riders and the CFL, but we've welcomed into the bunker our good and longtime friend, Al Dumba. Good morning, Alba. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. I've often said of the top three men I know... Al Dumba, Perry Nias, and my dad. Throw them all in the air. They always, you know, rotate. So welcome, Al. Happy holidays.
Well, good to see you. I was good friends with your dad, and I know Perry very well, so I'll take that as a pretty good
That's a good. Yeah, you bet it is. You bet. Hey, wherever you're watching from today, we want to say a good morning and chime in if you don't mind. Our friend Donald Mitchell writes in. He says, hello from Duluth, Minnesota. Traveling west to Saskatoba for the holidays. That's our Navy friend from Ottawa driving home for Christmas. And I see the boys at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon are watching. So good morning, everybody at Wendell's. And hope to see you soon. It is a hockey show, as I mentioned, and we got the hockey guys here. And they will be joining us on video chat as well. Theron Fleury will be with us. He's been all over this particular program coming on. Theo's got a lot to say, we understand. I look forward to that. I hope he doesn't mind my Pat's alumni jacket. He's usually pretty good with that. Oh, he understands my love for the team, and he respects it, even though he hates the Regina Pats. Is that fair?
Very fair.
Very fair, I'll say. What else? Theron Fleury. Dean Ducky Millard, a good friend of our from the hockey, the famous hockey broadcasting Millard family. Dean, for many, many years, the post-game host of Oilers Call In, the post-game show on Team TSN 1260, formerly Team 1260, now TSN 1260. I said to Clark, we got to get some Oilers influence here. And Ducky Millard will join us from Edmonton to talk about that. They won last night in Dallas, don't you know, 2-1. From Montreal, TSN's Joey Alfieri will be with us. Not just to talk Habs, but some Alouettes too. A Montreal football guy wrote me last night and he goes, how about this dysfunctional mess that's the Alouettes? And I said, you know, I think every team on some level is dysfunctional. Every team, I think, depending on what your definition is. And I said, he goes, why would Kahari sign here? And I said, well, these jobs are highly coveted. Kahari's chance to run his own show. It's a well-paying job, and look what he's doing. But that's kind of the buzz that's going around. I want to get Joey Alfieri's take on that. And that's about it. I want to talk some World Juniors. I want to talk... some things we didn't get to yesterday, like that rush game atmosphere. It wasn't as good as we had expected, right? Should we just answer it right now? Because in the rollout, we cover a little bit of everything for Flooring Superstore. And listen, when the home team's down 5-1 before you finish your first beer, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
Isn't that the reason that it wasn't?
It is. I was thinking about that, and I was talking to some people who were there for the first time. Because it just amazes me that there's still people who haven't seen a rush game, right? But I'm like, the atmosphere, just so you know, it's usually a lot more hopping than this. Like, usually it's just bumping. Now, there's cold weather plays into it, so a few people didn't show up. But, yeah, they were losing pretty bad out of the gate, and that gets everybody out of it pretty quickly. So once they started scoring a few goals, the atmosphere picked up a bit, but it just never got to that level that
we're used to.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they... come back. I mean, did we build it up too much? I don't know. Al, have you been to a Rush game yet?
I'm one of those ones that you're surprised at, but no, I haven't. I'd love to go up. I hear so many great things about it, about the atmosphere, about, you know, it's a real event to be at, and I look forward to getting there sometime.
Well, we got season tickets, so we'll bring you.
Oh, that sounds
great.
Yeah,
but our staff clamors over them. That's the only problem. So okay, we're supposed to contest them.
One out of nine, we could take the Dumbos, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
We'll see if we can. That'd be great.
Of course. Dumb and Dumba.
Yep.
Joke never gets old, does it? That's what they used to call me and Al over in Moose Jaw. That's what they called us, Dumb and Dumba, the Pats play-by-play team. I will just say this. Al's a Rider fan. We're all Rider fans. Is there anything more overanalyzed than a CFL schedule? Like, I get the excitement. NFL, too. But I just don't get it. I'm a season ticket holder. It's 18 games, 20 seasons calling the games. It's, look, you got to play a certain amount of teams twice, some others three or four times, and that's about it. And you know you're going to be home to the Bombers on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. It seems just the – I get the analysis and everything, but I've never bought into it. Do you guys?
Well, I just want to say the only thing I buy into is the nights that the games are on. You know, this is Saskatchewan. We have fans come from all over Saskatchewan. If they're traveling 3 hours to a home game, you would hope that it's not at a 7 o'clock on a Thursday or a Friday. I know that has to happen throughout the year sometimes, but it's very inconvenient for a lot of our fans. So I can see that. I live right in Regina, so my season tickets, it's easy.
5-minute drive for you.
I get there, yeah.
Maybe
it's
10.
Not a problem if I want to stop on the way. I can even do that for a hamburger or pop on the way to the game. It's fine, but you know, I don't know how inconvenient it could be for people that have to travel.
Yeah, and the only real, I mean, that complaint comes up every year, but they did a pretty good job at keeping the home games away from Thursdays and Fridays for the most part. But even if there's one, then you're going to see that, right? So that's fine. But the Thursday nighter, people thought it was at 5 o'clock, but I think it's at 7. I think that was a correction.
It was an error, yeah. Sean in Saskatoon's losing his mind. He's typing in all caps. Thursday at 5 is dumb! Apparently that was a typo on the schedule. It's actually 7
p.m. Yeah, and I know that doesn't change for a lot of our people that travel 3-4 hours to a game. But the only real complaint that I thought maybe is worth getting into a little bit was Brett Lowther put it out there. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter.
No.
He said an 18-game schedule with 3 bye weeks to play 12 consecutive weeks is a bit of a mystery. I think for some reason.
Well, last year they played 11 straight.
Yeah, so that's his only complaint was to, I think, is it the Riders that play 12 straight? I'd have to go back and look at it, but 12 straight games.
Well, I guess everybody looks at things how it affects them. If Al lives close to the stadium, I live even closer to the stadium, as you know, Al. So I don't really look at the nights. I get it if you're an out-of-towner. But I've also known that for years when they were putting together the CFL schedule, down east, they would say, those farmers will show up midnight on a Tuesday to watch the Riders play. And they're right. It's true. So I think the schedule now is way better than it used to be. Way better than it used to be. If you're paying attention to these things. So, again, you play 18 games, 9 home, 9 road. And Lynch was all in a frenzy. Last year at this time, he's like, 3 road games in October. What are they going to do all in the West? Do you remember how they did?
They did pretty good.
They won 2 of the 3. It was in BC, in Edmonton, and in Calgary during the Heritage Classic. And the game in Calgary, they completely laid an egg and probably should have won that one on the way to a 13-5 record.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're going to get all geeked up now, because Lynch is the perfect example of somebody that just sits there for days and analyzes the schedule like he was a coach or something, I'm not going to do that. Tell me when to show up, and I'll be there.
That usually comes when you have a subpar team. You always look at the schedule. How can we win a game that maybe we wouldn't? How do we get to 500? How do we do this and that? And I don't care. Stats and all that kind of stuff becomes so important when you lose by a point here or there, too many games.
Yeah.
But when you're a good team and you get the 13-5 record, the schedule surely, it doesn't matter very much anymore. And hopefully that's going to be the case this year again.
I couldn't agree more. Injuries, schedule, you name it for subpar teams. You're looking for excuses as to why you might lose games. Just saying hello to everybody this morning chiming in. Captain Harvey Ryder writes in. He says, ahoy from North Battleford. He's the guy that comes dressed as the pirate.
Yep.
Or as I often say, one of the guys that comes dressed as a pirate to Ryder games. But he's got the most elaborate outfit.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He looks like Johnny Depp. But in green.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sean Dahl says, also, there's a game on Craven weekend. First time in years I can remember them having a game on that weekend. So I remember back in the early 90s, going to the Rider game and then going to sit in line at the gate for the next morning in my lawn chair. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's all fun. What else do I have here? So there's that. Well, I mentioned Lynch. I did go for a birthday lunch with Lynch yesterday, and I just want to promptly say this in 30 seconds or less. He drove me crazy more than normal. Because he's like, my friends want to know where they can see you. They can't turn on the radio and the TV and find you. It's driving them crazy. I don't know what to say. And I'm like, John, tell them to get on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like anybody under the age of 30, no problem. Actually, probably 40 and under. No problem finding the show, Lynch. But it's who are all his friends? Seniors. He's like, they're upset. They can't find you. They think you've disappeared. I'm on the air hours every day, John. Like, folks, get your grandparents and parents, if it applies, an iPad for Christmas.
RodPeterson.com.
Yeah, just go online.
You don't even need to sign up for a Facebook account.
No, but it helps.
It does help.
If you want to watch the show. So back to the hockey, and I'll say one more. Oh, from Nelson watching this morning. He says, it's not your grandpa's sports show. Well, it might be if they could find it. What's wrong with being your grandpa's sports show? I'm okay with that. We're old school around here.
Hey, I'm a grandpa.
Yeah, you are a grandpa. That's right. But you're the coolest grandpa that we know. And by the way, I said to Al, as we have a few minutes left here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, that we have recreated the dressing room atmosphere that's gone missing in sports now, where you come in the morning before you go to air or go get on the ice or out on the field and have a coffee and talk about life. Isn't it great?
Yep.
Good feeling. I might come over for a coffee when I'm not on the show.
Well, you're always welcome. Are you kidding me?
You should.
And the funny thing about the hockey, because we got a lot of topics to get to. Obviously, the Taylor Hall trade, there's a lot of things there that, to me, don't add up or don't make sense. We're going to compare the Oilers and the Coyotes. They're tied, don't you know, atop the division. Everybody's looking for something wrong with the Oilers, and everybody's looking for something right with the Coyotes. And if they have 42 points each. What a difference in the two franchises. And it's not like the Oilers should have this high of expectations. They've been junk for a decade, too. But anyways, Al, the hockey talk. Why are people going so nuts about hockey talk on this show? They're like, oh, hockey day.
I don't know. I'm glad
it's good.
I
mean, yeah, me too. Me too.
I mean, I love football. I love all sports. But obviously, I bleed blue. You know, I'm a Pat my whole life. And I'm going to always be a Pat. So it's interesting when you talk about hockey, about you know, what's going on. You know, Taylor Hall. I mean, this is exciting, great news. And I understand. I think I understand why Jersey traded him. Obviously, they weren't going to re-sign him. He wasn't going to stay there, and they weren't going to have to give him up for nothing. They got prospects. They got draft choices. You know, I think they did a very good job of getting a lot for him. For could be a rental hockey player, but if he can go there and light it up a little bit and really make this Phoenix team a lot better, maybe you get a big contract there. I know they've got cap space. They should. And they've got a well-balanced hockey club, you know, very balanced hockey club from top to bottom. So that's the reason why they've got the amount of points they have. That's the difference between them and the Oilers. Oilers rely more on superstars and a few individuals. And obviously the Coyotes rely on a team game.
Well, things are starting to get fun in the National Hockey League. Who's the contenders? Who's the pretenders? We're past the U.S. Thanksgiving cutoff for that, and maybe what we see is what we get. But let's not forget what the St. Louis Blues did last year, firing their coach. Kings did it not that long before that. I guess it's getting to be a decade now, but fire their coach shortly after Christmas, end up going on a run and winning the Stanley Cup. Who might be that team this year?
Well, I like the Oilers. I'm not saying they're going to win a Stanley Cup, but I like him because I like their coach. I mean, anytime you bring a coach in and coaches what he's got, he's not trying to make an offensive guy a checker. He's not trying to make a checker a 30-goal man to show everybody, look how good a coach I am. I made a checker into a 30-goal scorer. Usually doesn't happen. What he does is he coaches what he has. He makes the guys better at every part of their game and what they do best. And he's an outstanding coach. It's no surprise to me. I said this last summer. As soon as I hired Tippett, I said, oh, great. Oilers are back in the playoffs this year. I'm not a big Oilers fan, but I obviously want the Western teams to do well. So I think Tippett's the difference by a country mile there. And obviously that proved in St. Louis. I don't know Yo at all. I didn't like what I saw with him in Minnesota. I didn't like what I saw with him, the way he is, and the things I've heard through relatives. Matt Dumba happened to have played for him. And not that Matt Dumba hated him, but he knows the type of coach he was. And I talked to Matt a lot about that. So it's interesting to have the new coach coming in. I told Mitch Bozak, I said, look out now, you guys, when they change their coaches. And Mitch is happy they changed him too, because it just made that much difference. Guys will play better in the right situation.
So we're just scratching the surface on what we're going to get to today. My very first ever statistician, Edmund Bankowski, is watching this morning, and he writes in and he says, this grandpa slash senior has no problem finding you, Rod. Well, of course, Eddie, it's because you've got chutzpah, pizzazz. Can you go help Lynch's buddies? Eddie, as soon as the show's over, would be great. He was my first stats guy on Regina Rams radio broadcast back in the day. Of course, Eddie. Well, you're with it. Not everybody is. We're going to do a sports update when we come back, and we're going to Montreal after this timeout. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning sports update, just ahead of Joey Alfieri from Montreal, TSN Montreal. He's got a take on the Habs and the Alouettes, and comments are coming in on the Facebook wall today already. Hockey related, relating to the Coyotes, relating to the Habs and everything else. Sports update for Ballers Rec Room, though. Pascal Siakam and Norm Powell were too much for the Cavaliers to handle last night in the NBA. Spicy P had 33 points and Powell added 26 to lead the Raps to a 133-113 home win over the lowly Cavaliers. The Oilers' power play keeps firing on all cylinders. Leon Draisaitl scored Edmonton's 11th power play goal in 8 games to lead the Oilers to a 2-1 win over the Stars in Dallas. They had to work for it if you watched it, but they held on for the win. Around the NHL, the Sens fell 6-1 to the Florida Panthers. Drew Brees became the NFL's all-time leader in touchdown passes, throwing for 4 scores to lead the Saints to a 34-7 victory over Indianapolis on Monday Night Football. The TD strike that broke Peyton Manning's record of 539 career touchdowns came in the third quarter when Brees hit Josh Hill for a 5-yard score. The Riders signed national running back Keenan LaFrance to a 2-year contract extension. He played in all 18 games last year. And the CFL released its 2020 schedule on Monday. The Riders have a bye in week 1, open the season Friday, June 19th at home against Montreal. That is your Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Our Christmas party is there tonight, right?
It is.
What time does it start?
7:30.
7:30.
You coming now?
7:30 tonight?
Can you make it?
Well,
I got a gift certificate for you, Al, for coming on the show from Ballers. So
awesome.
Now you have to.
Yes.
My wife wants to come, if that's okay.
Of course.
And the sports doctor's in town.
Whoa.
Yeah,
really?
So the sports doctor's going to come.
I'm now just like even more excited. Yeah, you
Ballers
guys
tonight, 7:30. So, yeah, and talking about this, the bunker has a dressing room feel. Everybody's writing in, including Nelson here. He says, the dressing room set with each guest's jersey hanging in the lockers. People are saying we should do a a locker room feel. Sort of like Seafood Sam's did back in the day. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember Sammy's.
In Saskatoon, it was a great. Can we do that? Can we recreate a dressing room in here?
We could.
Can we get on it?
You know, every time we left Sammy's restaurant with the team, the coaches and the manager would always get a full bowl of to-go of wonton soup.
Right.
It was special wonton soup.
Oh, I got rocket fuel.
Wow, you can fall asleep after you drink that.
Okay, let's go out on video chat today. Joey Alfieri joins us for an NHL-CFL discussion this morning from TSN 690 Montreal. How you doing, Joey?
Hey, good, Roddy. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Can we dive immediately into the Montreal Canadiens, please? Because our Facebook fans... viewers are watching, and Brady from Saskatoon says, did the Canadians have a chance at making it far in the playoffs? What can they do to improve their team? Can you give us a Habs update this morning, Joey?
Yeah, well, I mean, they got to get in first, right? Like, they've got to, that's going to be the biggest challenge here is when you go, you know, late last month, early this month, you go and you lose 8 games in a row, or you go on an 8-game winless streak, you're definitely going to be playing catch up. So, I think, look, right now, Mark Bergevin made it pretty clear yesterday afternoon in Vancouver that they're not going to make one of those moves like the Coyotes made for Taylor Hall. It's not going to be, you know, sacrifice the future to get better right now, which I think makes a lot of sense given where the Canadians are in the standings. I mean, look, can they go far in the playoffs? Sure. A lot has to go right between now and April, and then the goalie has to get hot and steal a round or two for you. Is it likely at this point? I don't think so. But I think there's slow progress being made here, especially when it comes to the farm system. It was kind of bare a couple of years ago, and now it's starting to pump up some talent. But obviously, it's not coming together as quickly as a lot of people in the city would have hoped.
You know, we had a guy from CTV in here, Don Hewitt, last week or 2 weeks ago, and he said the Habs have not been built organically, pieced together via trade, you know, Shea Weber, these kinds of guys, Max Domi, or free agency. It's not through the draft, right? Which is the conventional way to do it. Is that a fair assessment? Do you see that? And is that a criticism in Montreal?
Well, I mean, I don't know about all that. I think if you look at the roster, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, Weber and Petrie and Sherrod haven't necessarily come through the draft, and but they've used. I mean, they've made some one-on-one, you know, one-for-one trades. You know, guys like, you know, Galchenyuk for Domi swap, you know, was a 1v1 trade. I mean, is that come from a draft pick? No, but I mean, it's the direct result of Galchenyuk being picked and moved and stuff. But I mean, if you look at it, I think there are a couple of players on the roster who've come from outside, and they've been, listen, I think you can criticize Marc Bergevin for a lot of things. The slow progress of the team is definitely one of them. But, I mean, if you look at a lot of the trades he's made over the last little while, whether it's, you know, organically or not, I mean, they've made the team better, right? So, like, the Phil Deneau trade, I mean, they gave up Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischman for Phil Deneau, and Phil Deneau's been their number one center for 2 years now. Brendan Gallagher was a guy who was drafted. They acquired Nick Suzuki and Thomas Tatar for Max Pacioretty, and Pacioretty's ripping it up in Vegas, but that trade's also worked out pretty well for Montreal. So, I mean, they didn't draft Suzuki, but, you know, he's a kid that that basically has just made the team after his time in junior and really hasn't spent any time in the minors, so they've brought him right through, but he wasn't a draft pick. So, yeah, I mean, there are players on this team that weren't drafted, but again, another example is the Jonathan Drouin trade. They used the 9th overall pick a couple of years ago to take Sergachev. Sergachev ends up getting traded for Drouin. So, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a build or a team that's built through the draft primarily. But if you look at it, I mean, there's Gallagher, there's Kotkaniemi, who's banged up now. Victor Mete's on the team. Carey Price, of course, was drafted by a different regime. So, I mean, there's a mixture of both. I don't think that's the issue with the Canadiens right now, though.
I want to ask you about two players. Producer Clark wants to know about Cale Fleury, a former Regina Pat, and the goalie Primo. I mean, Canadian goalies have been scarce for a long time. I mean, Carey's still the best goalie this country's produced for the last decade or so. Is Primo the next one in Montreal and for this country?
Well, I mean, it's so hard to say, right? Just because there's 7 years to go on Carey Price's deal. So, I mean, a lot of people around here have been suggesting that maybe Caden Primo could wind up being a trade chip, because the Canadians do have so many other needs. But I mean, I think we saw him, you know, he's played two games here. The Colorado game, he was definitely nervous in the first period, gave up a couple of goals that, you know, could be chalked up to him being a little shaky. But if you look at the second game he played, the game against Ottawa, he was fantastic. He came up with some huge saves in that game, and he was really good. So, I mean, he's a seventh round pick guy, you know, that came through the U.S. college ranks, a guy who played for the Americans at the World Junior Hockey Championship. He had the pedigree's there. I just think, you know, they sent him back down now because there's, you know, on this Western road trip, there's, you know, at least a day between every game. And so they want to just give the workload to Carey Price before the Christmas break kicks in. So they figured that they'd be better off leaving Primo in Laval. But I think Primo, I mean, you'll probably see. I think as of right now, I think he's 20 years old and he's the second best goalie in the organization. I really feel that way. But they definitely want to get him some more minutes. So that's why he's in Laval. He's not with the team right now, so he's going to play. I think they have two games left before they go on the holiday break as well. And for Cale Fleury, I mean, Cale Fleury has been good. Last year was his first pro season. He spent the whole year down in the American Hockey League with Laval. He grew a lot, turned into a pretty good player, and you've seen him. He's been in the lineup consistently. There's some nights where he's been a healthy scratch, but there's been, you know, a revolving door on that third pairing, and Cale Fleury's been the one constant lately, right? So they've rotated guys in and out there, and he's been the guy who's been there. But you can see, you know, smart player, very physical. He's a guy I think can turn into a very important player for this Canadiens team. But he hasn't looked overmatched for the most part at all in his first NHL season.
From Carlisle, Saskatchewan, I might add. Now to the CFL, Joey, and you broke the story that tampering, as far as players are concerned, is now going to be legal in the CFL. What can you tell us about that situation?
Yeah, so basically it was brought to my attention about a month ago, and just wanted to get all the details down, and that's why you saw it come out last week. An interesting wrinkle to the free agent process. It looks like teams will be able to speak to players and vice versa 8 days before the start of free agency. So I think that's the 12th of February, if I'm not mistaken, this year is when free agency opens. So 8 days before that, players can shop their team's offer around the league, and they can get other offers, and they can exchange numbers and figures and all that stuff with different teams across the CFL. But the interesting wrinkle is, you won't be able to bluff if you're a player. So all contracts that are made, any team that makes a proposal to any player has to be registered with the CFL and the CFLPA, the offer does. So there's not going to be anything hidden. And then if any of those teams want to pull their offer, they're able to do so up to 1 day before the start of free agency. So I know this is something the players kind of fought for during the CBA negotiating process. I'm not sure it's going to be as much of a home run as they think. I mean, if the teams can back out up to a day before free agency, you know, it does leave them some wiggle room. So I think there's going to be some good and some bad for both sides here, but I don't think it's going to be as much of a home run for the players as much as they think.
Lastly, any update on the Alouettes ownership situation and GM situation?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, again, I was able to, I was at the Grey Cup in Calgary, and Peter Lankov was on the field, and he's been linked as one of the guys who's going to be part of a group that's favored to land the Alouettes, but we still haven't heard anything, which is interesting enough. And I wonder if, you know, some of these question marks have, you know, maybe force them to take a hard look in the mirror and make things a little bit more difficult when it comes to hiring a general manager. I mean, the other thing, you know, we've seen people pull out of the process, but I think it's important to realize, I think everybody knows how in demand Kahari Jones was this offseason. Had he hit the market, there would have been, you know, no shortage of teams that would have been interested in bringing him in. So I think in order to keep him here, it wasn't just about the 3-year term or the dollars. I think they must have promised, and this is just me speculating, they must have promised him some type of say over personnel. And maybe that's why they're having a hard time, you know, kind of figuring out who the next GM is going to be, just because, you know, these general managers want to come in and they want to have final say on personnel. And I certainly don't blame them for any of that. But when you have a coach who you absolutely can't get rid of, who the players love, who the fans love, who the organization feels very strongly about, it might be a little bit more difficult to find a general manager from the outside. It's unorthodox, right, to have the coach in place before the general manager. So I think that's why you've seen a bit of a complicated situation with the general manager. But I don't think Alouettes fans are worried about that. I think, you know, the team took a huge step in 2019. And with Wally Buono, essentially leading the charge, I think everyone's pretty confident that they'll end up finding the right guy at some point.
Yeah, and last week, Kahari was on here saying it's backwards, but that's okay. So, Joey, outstanding Montreal report. Joyeux Noël, mon ami.
And Joyeux Noël to you guys, Roddy. Thank you.
You betcha. We'll see you in the new year, buddy. Thank you. Joey Alferi, TSN Montreal, joining us today from TSN 690.
How much French can you speak?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
When I came out of grade 12, I was bilingual.
Wow. Good for you.
If you don't use it, you lose it, right?
Yep.
So as my friends used to say, just enough to get around the strip clubs of Montreal. Just enough to be understood.
Just enough to be dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
To Taylor Hall. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we've been teasing this for a while. I've been reading every column. I've been watching every insider's report, and it didn't make sense to me. It took a farmer from Dysart to explain to me why this happened, and it's just a simple rental player situation with Taylor Hall, right? Yeah. It's as simple as that. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. But here's what I still don't understand why New Jersey's necessarily giving him up. I mean, I saw Mark Spector on Sportsnet last night saying Taylor Hall has grown up. I think we all know that when he was in Edmonton, that needed to happen. Maybe he has grown up. I hope so. And how coveted is he going to be come next July 1st in the NHL then? And is that looking too far ahead?
Yeah, might be looking too far ahead, because I'm sure Arizona is going to show him around and let him know if they're happy with the situation, if they really want him. They're going to work on it. They're going to want to sign him to a deal before then. So he could be signed up with Arizona within a month or two. Who knows? I'm sure they'll be talking about it. I don't think they would have given up a lot right now for a rental player only. I think they, deep down, would like another star player in the desert, and he'd be perfect.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot. For me, it feels like with Arizona, a team that typically doesn't spend a lot of money. We talk about the contracts, Datsyuk, Pronger, right? All these contracts they've buried or they've eaten of guys who can't play the game anymore and aren't in the league.
But
still have contracts just to get to the cap floor. So just to get to the floor, the amount they have to spend. So for me, if they see a window, they're not a team that's going to spend every year to be competitive every single year and spend right to the cap. So when the team's competitive and they're challenging to win a division, they're seeing an opportunity to go all in, because these windows are going to come and go. And if they go all in one year and they spend some money and they get to the cap ceiling today, it might not happen for the next 10 years, right?
Well, definitely. Plus, they got their own young guys coming up through the system that are going to get paid a lot more.
Yeah.
When those guys mature and get to the point of needing the big contracts, they'll hopefully have that room for them too, because I'm sure they want to maintain. And I'll be, you know, truthful. I'm sure the guys that are down there want to stay there.
But Clark,
a great place to play, you know.
Yeah, Clark put out the stat in our pre-show meeting, and Clark, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said Taylor Hall's got 25 points for the basement-dwelling New Jersey Devils. He said, and he led the team in scoring. He said nobody on the Phoenix Coyotes or the Arizona Coyotes, who are atop the division, has 25 points. So balanced scoring, but how long is that sustainable when you don't have any of that high-end firepower? Much like the opposite in Edmonton, with how long can you only rely on two guys scoring? It's a little bit of both. You have to have complements, right? So now you bring in that complement of a high-end offensive guy to complement all this depth scoring that they have in Phoenix, and they might be a legitimate contender.
Well, a couple things. One, anybody that goes to Arizona immediately loves it. I've been watching people on Facebook, friends of mine that have just gone there for the first time over the past couple of weeks, and they're like, this is the greatest place. We're like, yep. Been saying it for a long time. Is that enough to stay? Not necessarily for NHL free agents, but if the team's good, all of a sudden it's bing, bing. And again, back to what Spector said on Sportsnet last night, he said Arizona is, all eyes of the hockey world are on Arizona. And has that been the case since 1996? I would submit yes. 2012, when they went to the Western Conference Final against the LA Kings, if it was 2012, I believe that it was. And they were packing the joint. And I was in Phoenix at the time. There was front page news all over Phoenix. And this is what people don't understand. People say it's not a hockey town. It can be if you win. That's what it takes. And I've sat in that crowd, particularly at Ryderville events that we've hosted in the past, and people, like season ticket holders that are from Phoenix, they're like, everybody says that the rink's out of the way, you know, people bitch and moan. No, if we had a winner here, people would support it. So I guess my question, and I have not tweeted yet the poll question. Maybe you have, Clark, and if you haven't, I'll do it here. Oh, he has. Our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, is does the addition of Taylor Hall make the Arizona Coyotes a Stanley Cup contender? I would have to put my finger on no. I'm sorry. And as we sit here today, it's an interesting conversation. Here's the poll results. 38% say yes. This is on Facebook. 33% say no. And 40% are unsure. The majority doesn't know. And you know what? They got it right. The majority's right because they don't know. But the Oilers and the Coyotes are tied today. It's a great time to have this talk because they sit atop the division lead with 42 points each. Which of the two is the better Stanley Cup contender? That would be something I'd like to know.
Wow. Yeah. And today I can't tell you. I can't. I would default.
Well, nobody can. It's fun to talk about.
I'd default to Edmonton just because they've got the higher end talent. And those two, I would take those two over anybody in the NHL. And I'm a Toronto guy, and they've got a pretty good group there, too, when it comes to high-end talent. But we always look at the, you know, it's the depth players that win in the playoffs come playoff time because it's easy to game plan against, you know, the best and say, okay, these two guys, whatever we do, they're not good doing anything today. We're going to make the rest of the team beat us. And if that's the case, I like Arizona.
Well, Arizona, if they're better on defense and better in net when you get into a long playoff run, you know, they'll have to be. And if they are, they could maybe be the team that has a better chance. Is Oilers goaltending strong enough to take them to a Stanley Cup final? Maybe it is. I don't know, but it's something to be seen. But obviously, you know, when you're looking at what the both teams have, I look back at Vegas last year, looking at their run. Some of their defensemen, I didn't realize they could be that good. I didn't know McNabb was going to be so outstanding on the back end. I saw him play lots of hockey. He's from Davidson. Saw him grow up in Saskatchewan in summer hockey tournaments when he was a kid. Never knew that he was going to be that great. And I don't think he even knew he was that good till he had the right coach in the right situation. So a lot of these guys, you don't know who blossoms at the right time. And when whoever comes along, they're the ones that are going to be there. And like we saw, hot at the right time. That's all that matters. Your goaltender's hotter than a pistol. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I know we got to get to a break. And coming up here in hour one, Dean Millard of Edmonton, longtime TSN 1260 broadcaster. He's now with the 12-ounce Sports Broadcasting Network. As a matter of fact, Clark tells me Dean is ready after the break. We'll take your text messages on this hockey show today. On the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. A very Prairie Christmas. Receive a free wireless charging pad with your accessory purchase of $80 or more at Prairie Mobile. That is province-wide. We'll be back in a moment. It is a Tuesday morning here in the bunker. Rod Peterson Show coming at you on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090 proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing The Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us for coffee on this Tuesday morning. Caliber coffee on episode number 138, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show is right here. And it's a hockey show today. And everybody's told us they want it. You got it. And we're going to talk a little World Juniors coming up as well. And Theo Fleury is our featured guest in hour two. But right now, we're going to Edmonton to join longtime Edmonton sportscaster Dean Millard, who for years and years and years, particularly in the decade of darkness, was taking those calls from Oilers fans after the games. Good morning, Dino. How are you? And the audio just dropped, Clark tells me. Yikes.
It looked good, though.
Oh, he looked great.
He was smiling.
It's like his mic isn't on.
Yeah.
While these guys work on bringing Dean back, I mentioned that we're going to talk some World Juniors. I'm actually starting to get the World Junior vibe. Are you guys?
Yeah, getting the fever.
Very slow this year.
Slowly,
I have no idea why, but I know on Boxing Day, I'll have it back.
You know what? I'm really excited. It's in the Czech Republic. For me, I hate the World Juniors when it's in Canada.
What?
Is that so bad for me to say?
Yes, it is.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of watching the World Juniors at 7 o'clock at night. I'm not. For me, it's about the pajamas, the Christmas trees lit up. You know, you get down, you make your coffee, and you watch it like 4 in the morning or 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning. Yeah. That's what I love.
With your jammies on.
With your jammies on. The sun's coming up. It's great. And in the evening, that's when you're getting together with friends and doing that kind of stuff and the cocktail season and whatever else. So I love the World Juniors. It feels more like Christmas time when it's not in Canada.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think it's 7 hours difference from the Czech Republic. So, you know, a 7 o'clock game will obviously be on at noon here in Regina. So that'd be fun and a little earlier. But like you said, you can turn the TV on if you have one in your bedroom and relax. And you know what? Even if you don't catch the whole game, you might catch different games. But no, you're right. It kind of brings back memories of some of the good World Juniors that we watched at different times of the day.
Clark, you tell me when you've got Dean Ducky Millard ready to go. I could tell you for a fact, I don't care whether it's 4 in the morning, noon, 7 at night. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm all in on watching the games. But one thing I'm looking forward to, which we haven't talked about yet, is maybe doing some watch parties at Ballers Rec Room over the holidays. Yeah. But if it doesn't line up and it's during the day, it probably won't happen. But I just talked to the rock and roll trainer this morning. Why is Dysart keep coming up, Al? Shad Ricky, trainer to the stars. I want to get together. We always watch the World Juniors together. But a watch party would be fun, wouldn't it? Even if it was...
Yeah.
What time are these games going to be?
I think they
noon?
Start... Some start at 9... And then others start at like noon, 1 o'clock. So
yeah,
I think our show is kind of right in the middle of the break between the two games for the most part, which is great. But I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, Snapchat, I was doing some strategic planning for the show and we got a big calendar in my office mapping up the whole year. And wouldn't it be something, and maybe it's on our plan and maybe sneaking too far ahead, but the World Juniors is in Alberta next year.
Edmonton.
That's just next door. We could be there with this show, which would be kind of cool.
Works for me. But speaking of, do you have... Now I'm getting a lot of questions from people that are coming home for the holidays.
Yep.
Some people wanting to sit in the bunker and watch this show. Others just wanting to know if we'll be on. Strategic planning, by the way, the definition is anything past this week. Did you know that? That's the definition of strategic planning. What is our Christmas holiday schedule on the Rod Peterson Show?
Yeah,
I should probably know that.
No, I believe Clark's going to we'll confirm this. But we're going to have some shows, and then we'll be back live on the 27th.
Tell them what those shows are.
So we'll have shows on the 23rd, and I believe the 24th.
Christmas Eve.
That hasn't been decided yet if we're going to do the Christmas Eve show, but we're going to have some content going out as well. But we'll have a show for sure on the 23rd. We're going to take Christmas off, let everybody enjoy the holidays, and we'll be back on the 27th with a live show from here in the bunker. We'll be back live. And then on New Year's Eve, we'll have our big New Year's countdown show.
Okay, and is that live?
That won't be live.
Okay, fine, because I got a friend coming up from Kansas City, and he said, New Year's Eve, are you doing your show? And I said, I don't know. I'll check with the guys. So we had Dean. Now we don't have Dean. Where are we with Dean Millard? Hold on. Are you getting that cue from Clark
too? I am not.
Oh, you're not? Okay. So video issues with Edmonton, and I think it might be operator error. He looked fine when he was on.
Yeah, no, that's tech support 101, right? Is it plugged in? Is it power on? And is the mic turned on? That's tech support 101.
But the one thing that does take a little away from me is when we don't have Pats on the World Junior team for Team Canada. That's just a Regina thing. And the last one was obviously Sam Steele. Is it still the fact that the Pats have put more players on Team Canada than any other major junior team?
At one point they had, and I'm not sure if that's still in effect or not, or if that's still the record or the way it is. Obviously, it hasn't been one for a couple of years now, so it would be exciting to get somebody back there, and we'll have to wait for the future, I guess. But it's also local boys, and obviously when we had local boys there, we had Eberle, and we had Garth Murray, and a few guys.
Harding.
Sure, Josh Harding. Sure makes a big difference when you got a Regina guy on the team too. It makes it brings it that much closer to home.
So now we have him, Dean Millard, joining us from Edmonton. We got the audio situation figured out. There we go, Dino. Good morning, man. How are things in Edmonton?
Things are great, Rod. I apologize. I was always in front of the camera and behind the mic. Technical aspects, not my strong suit, but I think we got it figured out. I hope.
Yeah, you sound great. Yeah, that makes two of us. So, question today as we delve into the hockey talk. Oilers, Coyotes tied today atop the division lead with 42 points each. Which of the two is for real?
That's a really hard question because the Coyotes have the best goaltending in the league right now. Darcy Kemper is incredible. They just picked up a guy that won a Hart Trophy, can really drive. Like, I don't think the Arizona Coyotes, I don't think they have a driver until now. Taylor Hall can really dictate the game, whereas the Edmonton Oilers have two of those guys in McDavid and Draisaitl, and then there seems to be a big drop off. So if you're asking me which team will be the contender at the end of the season, I'm going to go with the Coyotes just because of their goaltending right now. Mikko Koskinen was great last night, especially in that third period. But the Oilers have not had consistent goaltending for a while. Darcy Kemper, this is not just a flash in the pan. He was great last year. Craig Button of TSN said he voted for him as one of the all-star goalies. So based on goaltending, I'll go with the Coyotes. If the Oilers can get consistent goaltending like they did last night and early in the season from Mikko Koskinen, that might change my mind. But one game after four games where they gave up so many goals, and I'm not just blaming the goaltending, the defense had five-star turnovers. That was happening in the four-game losing skid. It didn't happen last night. But until the Oilers can consistently turn that around again, I would pick the Coyotes by picking up Taylor Hall.
Wow. Thank you for that. But Mike Smith was supposed to be that guy, and he's just not living up to it. And I enjoy the back and forth that I have with the Oilers fans on Twitter. They just think he's simply too old. They think that at one time he was good, but he's not the same Mike Smith anymore. Do you buy into that?
No, I think he's still capable of winning games as long as the team in front of him is good. I mean, you could bring back Grant Fuhr and Andy Moog, that tandem, and they still might have a goals against average over three, which was good in their day, not so good in today's day. I mean, this team at times just leaks like a sieve. Early in the season, that wasn't happening. The times that I was on the post-game show, that was happening every single night. And these defensemen that they have are not new to this team. Oscar Klefbom, Adam Larson, Chris Russell. These are not guys that are new and rookies. These are guys that were making key mistakes, not early in the season, not last night, but in the four-game losing skid that they have. So I think Mike Smith is capable. I thought when Mike Smith came here, Rod, he was going to start more games than Mikko Koskinen. And that's not going to happen, I don't think. I think down the stretch, you're going to see a 70-30 the rest of the way. And that means Mike Smith, he doesn't have to win a lot of games. He just has to play well in his starts. He is old. The Oilers need Mikko Koskinen to live up to that terrible contract they gave him last year. So Mike Smith has a simple job to do. Just be a caddy. Just play well every third game, and you'll do well. Mikko Koskinen, he needs to be the starter to live up to that contract.
So playing every third game throughout the season, and you open the playoffs, say at home, who's your starting goaltender? I think it's Mike Smith, and I think he gets to carry the load.
Well, it's going to depend on – you're not starting Mike Smith if he's only playing 30% of the games the rest of the season. If you're playing your Mikko Koskinen 70% of the games the rest of the way, he's going to be your starter, or else he's not playing 70% of the games.
Well, you're probably right there. I agree with you. He probably wouldn't play it. But I think Mike Smith is brought in to carry a load in the playoffs, the experience, and I think there then he'll be ready to go and he might be unbeatable in the playoffs.
Possibly. He was brought in to push this team and get to the playoffs. Whoever starts in the playoffs is going to be the hot goalie down the stretch. And this is why I hate 50-50 platoons, because it makes decisions tough in the playoffs. It's, you know, Canada at the World Juniors. They usually ride one guy, give the other guy a game against Kazakhstan or whoever it is, and you want to get ready to the playoffs. So I don't think Mike Smith's going to get an opportunity to play in the playoffs if Mikko Koskinen plays 70% of the games and if he plays well like he did at the start of the season. I mean, this guy was 10-2-2 at one point at the start of the season, and he was looking good. His glove hand still had a few, misses, and that's his big weak spot. But positioning, he's got better at that. So if Mike Smith is playing well down the stretch, yeah, he'll play in the playoffs. But I think it's going to be Mikko Koskinen who's going to get the bulk of the work. I'm not sure Mike Smith's going to get an opportunity to win the net back unless Koskinen really, really struggles again.
Yeah, I see what you say, Al, too, though, about, you know, he's a little bit older, so you don't play him as much, and maybe he can get hot at the end and go on a run. But, Dean, what would be on your Christmas wish list for the Oilers? I know we're a ways away from any trade deadlines, but what's on your wish list for the Oilers to really make them a Stanley Cup threat in your mind?
Well, if I was writing a letter to Santa Claus as Ken Holland, I'd be asking for another second line or second line forward. Because I don't understand it. And Rod, I saw your tweet yesterday about Oiler fans thinking they know more than Dave Tippett. But I just don't understand why on this team, you know, you don't have the depth to go three lines. Like it's clearly obvious. So put James Neal and put Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the top six and put McDavid and put Draisaitl in the top six. Build around those guys. Teams can rarely have three scoring lines anyway, much less a team with such a lack of depth like the Oilers. They need another top six forward. Like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for years has been looking for a life raft because he's had no line mates. Then James Neal comes. They have a great start, albeit a lot of it on the power play, and then things shuffle around. This team just needs to load up, in my opinion, their top six, and they need another winger that they can put in the top six. Left or right, doesn't matter, because James Neal and Draisaitl, they can shift around Nugent Hopkins if he has to. But I don't care who's with who. McDavid with Draisaitl, McDavid with Neal, McDavid with Nuge. I don't care. As long as McDavid, Nuge, Neal, and Draisaitl are in the top six, and on that wish list is another top six winger, maybe, or forward, that's versatile. Maybe Pajot in Edmonton, but they need somebody else to complement. You can give Draisaitl, McDavid, and Cassian, and you can run those guys. You need somebody else to help Neal and Nuge on the second line, in my opinion. That's what I would be asking Santa Claus for.
That's a good answer. Sometimes I wonder if from the outside, this is how neurotic Rider fans look like Oilers fans do right now. How many times have I told you, Dean, and I've been on your show, can you just, not you, but Oilers fans, relax and enjoy the ride because you're going
to
miss it.
That's what I tried to say on the post-game show.
That game in Dallas last night was a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? I think the thing is for Oiler fans, Rod, and the difference between Oiler fans and Rider fans is you guys have had some success in the last decade or plus. Oiler fans have had one playoff win, one playoff round win in the last little while, going back to the Stanley Cup final in 2006. And I think Oiler fans, they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. They're conditioned to wait for failure to happen. And, you know, I Rod, you and I have talked about this in our personal life. I sometimes live that way in my personal life with my mental health issues. Things are going great and I'm waiting for something bad to happen. I think, unfortunately, that's what Oiler fans are used to, is they're waiting for Lucy to pull the football away as they, as Charlie Brown, race toward it to try and kick a field goal. They're waiting for that football to be yanked away. And I think it's hard for them to just enjoy the ride when this four-game losing streak pops up. And in the past, four games have been stretched to six, seven games for this team. Now, they ended it last night. Maybe that allows Oiler fans to calm down and say, ah, this team can nip things in the bud as long as they can get going with this schedule coming up. It's a pretty tough one with Pittsburgh coming in on Friday, but that's why I think Oiler fans are the way they are. They're conditioned to having Lucy pull away that football.
I know, but that's the wrong way to look at things. Expect good things. You'll get good things.
I agree.
Manifest.
Dean, lastly, where can people listen to your show? Because it's a good one.
Thank you very much. Monday to Friday, 2 to 4 Mountain Time on the 12-Ounce Sports Radio Network. That is 12OunceSportsRadio.com. You can listen to it on TuneIn and on Streama. And you can also check out PodcastAlley.ca for a bunch of my podcasts that I have. So try to keep busy in this new media landscape. And I really appreciate you giving me an opportunity to be on your show, Rod. It's been great getting to know you all these years and still keeping in touch.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas, and let's keep in touch in the new year.
You bet. All the best to you and yours.
All right. Dino Millar joining us from Edmonton today. And by the way, so he's every day 2 to 4 Mountain. We're every day 9 to 11 Mountain. We have big news coming up in the new year, too. I know I'm not going to leak it now.
All right.
We got really big news coming up in the new year on our plans. I'm so excited about it.
Good.
Maybe we can partner with Ducky.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. Don't worry. It's how it rolls.
Yeah, post show meeting, I can tell. We're going to have cake today, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Al, listen, you're a Rider fan. If anybody's carrying baggage, it's you too. You're Leaf fans. Like
I know.
I've been on, could I go on Dean's show a lot? And I try to tell Oiler fans and all those shows that I go on, I mean, just enjoy the ride. You have an exciting young team. You got the best player in the NHL in Connor McDavid. And I just laugh. You know who's stirring up this McDavid wants out of town stuff? You know who's stirring it up? Toronto media. They're trying to create something to get him to go play for the Leafs. They're like, oh, he's struggling there. He looks so unhappy. Yeah, like every star that's gone through Toronto the last 50 years.
We don't have any money to bring him to Toronto. Even if we wanted him, if we wanted to come.
Yeah, that's not McDavid's fault. That's Leafs managing screwing it up again.
But I would understand why he'd want to come and play. No, I'm kidding.
Honestly.
Did you get him rolling his eyes?
There is a difference in this Leafs fan. I've seen them hoist Stanley Cups. So.
Yeah, but it was not in the color television era.
No, it was 1967. And,
right. You know. We got all those old bomber jokes. We can't use anymore for droughts of championship droughts, because there's the sports doctor who's coming to our Christmas party tonight. I sent him a picture of a covered wagon parade. I said, this is the last Grey Cup parade in Winnipeg. And of course he got mad. I'm like, come on, this is just fun stuff.
Yeah.
But now it's the Leafs. That's still a joke that just keeps on giving.
For sure. It is. And I've never seen it, clearly, them win. But, I mean, they've had some success in my time, you know, under Pat Quinn in the late 90s, early 2000s. That's the best era I know.
If you're not first, you're last, baby. But Ricky Bobby.
But that's it, right? Unless you can finish the job, it's awfully tough. But it's fun. But we're just kind of, you're scared to get too high because you've been disappointed so many times.
We're way over time in hour one. Coming back with more of this in hour two with my good friend Alba, co-host Darren DuPont, and the crew here. Theo Fleury with us in hour two on this Tuesday morning hockey show of the Rod Peterson Show from the Bunker on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season.
Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.